Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Andy Reid gave us something to talk about today. There's a quote that if you haven't seen it yet, you'll hear it here very soon. Talks about Patrick Mahomes' interceptions, and even more interestingly, checking it down too often. Welcome to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abriscoe. Beards McFly is here keeping us on the air. Also, starting the show a minute before I thought the show was going to start, so I tweeted out a tweet with a typo in it. So now I look for, where do I delete the tweet? And I'm going to undo the retweet. That's not what I want to do. No, this is it. This is an unmitigated disaster. Andy Reid spoke at training camp today and gave you an absolute money tweet, which helped sort of calm my raging flare-ups whenever it comes to the way that Patrick Mahomes has been discussed these last couple of days. Last night over here, I explained to you why his three interception day yesterday was maybe one interception, and even then, not something I was worried about. Now, though, it has taken on even a new life form because Andy Reid has talked about it in a way that makes me even more bold in my love of where things are going. He pointed out something about this attitude for Patrick Mahomes. He pointed out a reason that this attitude is important. He used a phrase that was often attributed to a previous quarterback. And so we'll hear from Andy Reid here in a minute. But let's go ahead. Let's just hear it now. Let's let Andy Reid set the table, and then we will gobble this up. Here's Andy Reid from training camp today.
No, he's doing a great job. You know, I know people wrote about the interceptions. I told you at the beginning of camp, I don't care about all that stuff. I want him to test the offense. It's so important. It's so important. We give him a ton of plays. I want him testing it. If you don't have the intestinal fortitude to go test it, you're going to be one of these quarterbacks that checks it down every time. And that's not what it's all about. So the great thing about Pat is he never makes the same mistake twice. It doesn't happen. He sees everything. He knows it. When he does make a mistake, he comes back and he can talk to you about it. And so he's done nothing but get better and better as we go, and he's got a load on him here.
So he's responding exactly like you'd like.
Yeah, very much so.
That's encouraging in a whole heap of ways. It's encouraging that Andy Reid thinks that Patrick Mahomes is not making the same mistake twice. That's insanely encouraging. That's exactly what you want from a young quarterback. I mean, ideally, you like to have a quarterback who just simply doesn't make a mistake, but good luck with that. So if you can't have an infallible quarterback, you may as well get a quarterback who doesn't make the same mistake twice. So that's encouraging. It's encouraging that Andy Reid isn't latching on to these mistakes that Patrick Mahomes is making as flaws in his game or things he needs to continue to work on or whatever. It's encouraging that Andy Reid wants Patrick Mahomes to be the guy that he is supposed to be in this league. That's the thing to me that I feel like a lot of people needed to hear. A lot of people needed to hear Andy Reid say that if you don't have the intestinal fortitude to go test it, you're going to be one of these quarterbacks who checks it down every time, and that's not what it's all about. Because whenever Andy Reid brought in Alex Smith half a decade ago, I think a lot of people looked at what Andy Reid wanted to do as an NFL head coach and found him to be a guy who wants a quarterback who will execute his offense exactly how he wants it. And I do think that's partially true, and I've said that about Andy Reid before. to in degrees that Andy Reid wants a guy that he can trust to execute what he's drawn up. We heard Andy Reid say today that he doesn't want Patrick Mahomes to be one of those guys who checks it down all the time. He wants him to be a guy who is testing all the windows, a guy who's testing out the playbook. Aaron Rodgers does that. Aaron Rodgers has thrown a bunch of picks in camp this year. And he's talked in the past, and I'm pulling a little snippet here from Packers Wire on USA Today, that Rodgers has also said in the past that he uses practice reps, such as live team periods during camp, to test throwing windows and risk opportunities he wouldn't normally take in a real game. It's a way to test the boundaries of a play without the in-game consequences. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is doing the exact thing that all of you wished Alex Smith would have done more of. He's taking the low-risk, no-risk opportunities and testing out windows, testing out what he can and can't pull off. And if Aaron bleeping Rodgers is doing that in training camp, then Patrick Mahomes sure as hell should be. Because Patrick Mahomes is more or less a rookie. He got a lot of wisdom put on him last year. He spent a lot of time in the playbook, but as far as in-game experience goes, he's almost exactly a rookie. This is his first training camp as a starter. He had a week of practice as a starter last year, and then one game as a starter last year, and he didn't even play all four quarters. Tyler Bray came in for a little bit, almost lost the game, and then Mahomes came back in and looked great again. If Aaron Rodgers is using training camp that way, I'm thrilled that Patrick Mahomes is, because coming into this very unique situation that he's in and being a young quarterback with one game of NFL experience under his belt, he should be looking at these live chances in training camp as an opportunity to test his arm, to test these windows, to test what he's capable of, what he can do, what he needs to do, what he's supposed to do, what he might be able to do, what he cannot do. This is exactly what he should be doing. And I explained last night, and I explained earlier today over on Almost Entirely Sports, ESPN Kansas City. You can go find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I have explained here last night, there today, on the car ride home, just calling my mom and saying, "Mom, I need you to listen to how I'm about to explain what Patrick Mahomes is doing in camp right now." I've explained to everyone who will listen that Patrick Mahomes' three-interception day yesterday was not a three-interception day. It was a one-interception day on a missed called play, which is admittedly something that he needs to not make that mistake. Again, he needs to make Andy Reid's statement true, and he needs to not make that mistake twice. But that's very different than throws three picks, calls wrong play in huddle, which was the takeaway for a lot of people. We talked about that a bunch already. I'm even setting that aside now. We're saying we dug through that layer of topsoil, right? Now get your hands in the mud and explain to me why making mistakes in training camp as a rookie who is taking the same mindset as Aaron Rodgers, but without the years and years and years of NFL experience and elite quarterback play. Why should I be panicking whenever Patrick Mahomes gets picked off in training camp and ostensibly learns from that experience? I'm not panicking. Andy Reid isn't panicking. Stop panicking. Stop it. I don't know what to explain to some of you. Oh, it's going to be a long season for the Chiefs. Again, it totally could be, man. Maybe it is going to be a long season. I don't think it's going to be. I've said this a billion times. I don't think it's going to be a long season. I think the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. But maybe it will be. But if you think it's going to be a long season because you saw him throwing picks in the live game sort of situations in training camp, then I don't know how to talk to you about football. What would you have him do? In fact, I'm prepared already to defend the interceptions that happen in a game if they're bookended by a couple of great throws or by a couple of touchdowns. Because for me, I've been saying this for years, I want a quarterback to play unafraid. I don't want a quarterback that leads the league in picks if he can help it. But I want a quarterback that's not afraid to strap the cannon onto his arm and use it. And ultimately, for me, the concern will be the tight windows, right? Or whenever an edge rusher gets between the ball and the receiver. I want Pat Mahomes to know what to do whenever that linebacker is there, or he needs to know exactly how much space he needs before he can try to put it around a linebacker in the NFL. And he needs to know what size window he can actually put the ball into. Whenever he puts it where it needs to be, he can handle about any window on the planet. But these are the learning experiences that he is going through right now. And I'm not worried about it. And again, neither is Andy Reid. Even the interceptions that count, I once again feel the need to add. I don't understand the concern, and I don't understand the overreaction, and I guess where it has to come from is from people that have already begun the assumption, not to say that everyone with us has an agenda. Some people do, but not everyone does. But some people have expected Patrick Mahomes to come through and throw a bunch of interceptions. And whenever you start with that assumption, then, I mean, I guess you just are glad to see that he is throwing it. But Graham Barfield on Twitter had an interesting tweet. He's a fantasy analyst for Fantasy Guru. He said, "Are Patrick Mahomes' reported turnover issues in Chiefs camp a big deal? Probably not. Mahomes' college career interception rate was pretty good relative to the last two NFL draft quarterback classes. No one touches Baker Mayfield, though, and that's true. But the college interception rate from worst to best of these guys here who qualify are worst being Josh Allen, 3.24%. Then Deshaun Kizer, Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Patrick Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky, Baker Mayfield. Trubisky and Mayfield are both under 2%. Mahomes is at 2.15, Rosen 2.22, Lamar Jackson 2.49. Darnold 2.6, Watson 2.65, Kizer 2.73, Josh Allen again 3.24. Another interesting thing that popped up on Twitter, I feel like you have to synthesize these, is Warren Sharp, who's at Sharp Football, tweeted about what the Chiefs are doing this year in terms of their turnovers. And I talked to Tom Martin of KCTV5 over on Almost Entirely Sports earlier today. Again, sorry, another plug. If you want to hear that conversation, you can go search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. It will be there. And if not, you can tweet me and tell me to put it there. I'll do it. But what that snippet there from Sharp and then the conversation I was having with Tom earlier, it makes you have to synthesize what the Chiefs have done in turnovers, creating them and preventing them over the last few years to great success with what they've done this year. Because their best turnover creator and their best turnover preventer are both gone, traded away. Alex Smith and Marcus Peters. Alex Smith didn't turn the ball over. Marcus Peters brought you turnovers at a rate unrivaled by anyone else in the league. Also, a quick look into the Hall of Fame game. Tyler Bray just hit someone on the sidelines within 20 yards of any of his own receivers. Just thought you may want to know what Tyler Bray is doing these days. And Chase Daniel on the same roster with Matt Nagy. So you look at what the Chiefs have done these last few years, which is don't turn the ball over, create as many as possible, and then that makes you as a football team look better than your stats. So that is worth talking about because the Chiefs seem to be changing their strategies. Because they know that Mahomes is going to turn the ball over more than Alex Smith did. And I'm not sure if this defense right now is ready to create turnovers at a rate that an Eric Berry, Marcus Peters defense has done. However, the Chiefs have invested very heavily in their defense this offseason. From the free agency additions of Anthony Hitchens and Xavier Williams to the draft of literally everyone all the way till Khalil McKenzie, who's a guard but did play defensive tackle in college. Everybody is a defensive player. Many of them fit in specific roles that will create, hopefully, turnovers. So should we be worried about Mahomes? Well, those interception rates are pretty low from college. Well, he's throwing picks in training camp right now. Well, it's training camp. This is what you're supposed to do, especially whenever you're a guy who's not going through your first training camp as a starter and you want to know exactly what you can and can't get away with in the NFL. This is the place to figure it out. And honestly, so are the first two preseason games. Maybe so are the third and fourth preseason games. I don't think you'll see the field in the fourth one. But your first two preseason games, he can throw five picks per game. And if Andy Reid is right and Patrick Mahomes doesn't make the same mistake twice, then hope it gets him out of the way in training camp in the preseason. My inclination at this point is that it is going to. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we have a nice lineup of guys who spoke out in St. Joe today for you. We'll hear from Andy Reid in full. Also, Tre'Mond Smith and Daniel Sorensen from the defensive secondary both spoke. And Alan Bailey had a lot of very good things to say. So we'll hear from all of them coming up here in a little bit on Chiefs Central.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in the Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abrisco, letting you know everything that you need to know from St. Joe. Man, good Lord, I keep rhyming that, and I really don't mean to. Interesting thing from the Hall of Fame game, there were a lot of flags thrown. Two of them were within the realm of the new helmet, use of the helmet rule, I suppose. And two of them were absolutely clean hits, even with the updated rule. The NFL is going to have a bit of a mess on its hands this year, not just with the actual new ruling. I think the new ruling will ultimately be good for the health of the game and for the health of individual players. But if they can't figure out what does and doesn't fit within that rule, this is going to be a disaster. Someone who wasn't a disaster today, though, was Andy Reid. He spoke in St. Joe, and you heard a snippet of it earlier. There's a whole lot more. He had a lot of very good things to say today. Also, eventually, in that little snippet about not being a check-down quarterback, eventually he gets asked directly about Alex Smith. He even addresses that. So Andy Reid was great today. He started off by giving everyone the injury update.
So injuries are this. The guys that didn't practice today, Gordon, Kemp, Nadi, Raglan, Reeser, and then West. And then we had Fish tweak his shoulder a little bit, and Kemp Irving tweaked his knee a little bit. All in all, it was a good practice. The guys worked hard, got a lot done today. Again, we're working through some situations as we go through. Today was red zone. So, again, great work. Time's yours.
You see some offensive linemen, don't you, when you get guys down?
Yeah, Andy does a good job of mixing guys and moving them around so you're not losing the mental part of it. So the guys know they can step in and play all these positions, which is good. That helps.
In that red zone, generally you haven't watched all the tape yet, winners and losers and stuff, but what did you like the overview from the offense in the red zone?
I like the competition. That's what I like. We got to go 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3 today, and the guys competed. So there was some good, there was some bad, both sides of the ball, stuff we can work on. Great to get this stuff on tape. You know, that's the best part. So you can get in and study, and that's the benefit of it.
And Sorensen had that red zone interception down there. I wonder, for you, how do you see sort of Eric's return impacting him and how you guys try to use him with his role?
Sorensen? Yeah. So Dan plays as your... You know, there's really no strong safety or free safety anymore. In today's football, you got to kind of play both. But he'll also jump in and play in dime situations, inside nickel situations. So there's great flexibility with him, and he's a good special teams player. He's come a long way. He's improved every year, right? still got work to do. That's how it goes. But he's dependable. And his relationship with Eric is tremendous, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's where you're going with that, but they got a great relationship.
What's the most encouraging? I know you liked Dan when you brought him in, obviously, as a rookie, but you feel like his career has maybe gone beyond what you thought it might be when you first got him here?
Yeah, well, he didn't come in with a lot of hoopla. He came in from the right school, and he's just gotten better every day.
All right, that's what it was. All right.
Coach, what's been the most encouraging thing you've seen from DeMarcus Robinson from OTAs, the development where you started?
Yeah, that he can play all three spots. You know, and the mental mistakes are going away, and he's doing a good job. That's a lot to juggle. And he's handling it, so and working hard. These guys, they got a little tired today. They had a lot of play, so, got a lot of work.
Coach, Eric Bieniemy's pretty new at this, too. It's his first time as offensive coordinator. We know a lot about how you coach players. Just how are you coaching him up behind the scenes a little bit?
Yeah, well, you have a tremendous work ethic, and he wants to do everything the right way. I mean, he's meticulous about things, and you've heard players say it, and I'm saying it to you, too, from a coach's standpoint. So, And you appreciate his energy every day. He's positive. He gets out. He's going to get after you if you do wrong, but he's going to praise you if you do good. So, very good teacher.
You have a game a week from today, the first preseason game. So are you already tailoring to that? Are they where you want them to be right now?
Yeah, so we got a couple more installs we got to get in. And then we're done as far as not for Houston, but just installs. Then we'll worry about that later. We don't spend a lot of time on the first game. It's not what we do. And I don't think many people in the league do. So, but you're trying to get all the things you need to go into a game situationally for and practice.
When did McGloin figure to get some playing time in that first game? How are they coming along? How's that battle shaking out?
Which ones? I'm sorry.
Chase Linton and Matt McGloin?
Yeah, they're both doing good. They're kind of rotating with the third group. They challenge each other. Matt's been doing it a while, but listen, he's coming on. I mean, he's doing a nice job.
Yeah. We're not. I don't know the exact numbers. About halfway through. It's not quite probably dog days of camp yet or anything. But have you seen the same energy? Has Pat changed at all in meetings or on the field? Has he been steady?
No, he's been doing a great job. You know, I know people wrote about the interceptions. I told you at the beginning of camp, I don't care about all that stuff. I want him to test the offense. It's so important. It's so important. We give him a ton of plays. I want him testing it. If you don't have the intestinal fortitude to go test it, you're going to be one of these quarterbacks that checks it down every time. And that's not what it's all about. So the great thing about Pat is he never makes the same mistake twice. It doesn't happen. He sees everything. He knows it. When he does make a mistake, he comes back and he can talk to you about it. And so he's done nothing but get better and better as we go, and he's got a load on him here.
So he's responding exactly like you'd like.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
He's learning from his mistakes here.
Learning from his mistakes, yeah. No, you don't see him repeat mistakes. It's fun to watch. So.
Along those lines, you've talked a lot about, you just did, I guess, of throwing a lot at him and trying to overwhelm him in some ways.
No, not overwhelm him.
Throwing a lot at him. Right.
Yeah. Giving him the offense.
Can you describe the process of like paring that down, when that happens, how
yeah.
you...
Yeah, sure. So right now we have a couple more installs left, right? You're talking 9-10 installs. So that's going to help carry you through the year. You're putting it in the bank here. Then there are certain plays that you're going to rep and rep and rep, and then there are other plays that you got to get out and you got to test, and you got to get a feel for it on limited reps. But you're putting them away. You've mind-tapped it in there, and then you can pull it out during the season. So once you get into a game, now everything's cut down. Right? It all pairs down. So it's one-tenth of what you have in now.
If a play doesn't work here or in a preseason game, what's your decision on let's try it again or that just doesn't work, let's move on?
Yeah, you got to go off a feel on it. So, and then you got to have communication with the quarterback. We're talking routes, right?
Yeah.
So and run game, I guess, would be the same. But if we're talking routes here, then you communicate. And so you're not going to force any. That's not what you're going to do on somebody. If you get a feel on what the quarterback likes and doesn't like, and you pair it to that, and then you roll.
You mentioned
you probably didn't need to see him play against Denver, but it seemed that day you really were struck by some things you saw in him. How much did that affect your own perception of how ready he was going to be?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure that this whole thing was going to go on, that part. So I didn't know Alex, and I wasn't sure how that was all going to work out. And at that point, didn't you know, that's not where my focus was. So I was more focused, and I got to work with Mike Kafka because I knew I had a pretty good idea Nagy was going to be gone. By the way, he plays tonight. So so on that, you know, I had a chance to work with Mike Kafka. I also had a chance to work with a young kid. So it was good to work with Patrick. I liked the way he handled himself, did it very well. Again, we pared it down. He was able to tell me things that, you know, I'd rather not have it. I like this. This one, not so much. So, and that communication becomes important.
Did it make it possible for you? I'm sorry. Did it affect how you perceive things going into the off season?
Well, listen, I know Alex is in a good place and going to do a great job. And I feel comfortable with Patrick, yes.
We'll go one, two, three.
You mentioned testing the offense and you know, him trying to don't worry about the interceptions and stuff and not just be a guy who checks it down some. You mentioned the check down part. We're talking about Alex a little bit. That was this, you know, perception people had of him. Yeah, is this going to be different with Patrick than it was with Alex?
Yeah, but then you saw Alex grow in the throwing, having trust to throw it down the field because he practiced that, right? So that takes, and then he became a very good down the field thrower.
Did you have to coach him to do that more?
Well, that's not what he came from.
Right.
Right. That's not what he came from. So, yeah, he worked on that. He's very diligent about it, just like this kid's doing. And this kid had a chance to watch Alex continue to progress in throwing the ball down the field. So it was a great, great experience for him.
Coach, Dave Tope's been pretty high in the rookie cornerback, Jamon Smith. He's been in the mix for kick returner. Have you been pleasantly surprised at what he's been able to offer getting him so late in the draft?
Yeah, no, I'm curious to see how he does in the games, but he's a talented kid. Yeah, he does have return ability, and he's done a real nice job at the corner spot, too, so that's been a plus, yeah.
Last one,
and with the Hall of Fame inductions coming up, I wonder what sort of stands out to you about your time with Terrell Owens?
With Tio? Yeah. So Tio's one of the most coachable guys I've ever been around. You know, you'd ask him to do something, he'd do it 100 miles an hour, and he'd do it live. There's a difference when you're coaching. So some guys will do it on the bags 100 miles an hour, but when they get live, they kind of go back to what they are very comfortable doing. So that wasn't Tio. So you give Tio something, and he would go 100 miles an hour and do it live. And, you know, I mean, there were times when you call a play, he'd be coming out of the huddle, he'd wink at you, and you go, hey, you know what, we're probably going to have a pretty good play right here. So, and he and Donovan had a great chemistry.
That's Andy Reid. In St. Joe today, there are a couple of things in there that are fantastic. You heard of that time around the check down thing followed up by the follow up question from Lebo in there about asking Andy Reid about Alex Smith and the perception that Alex Smith was a check down guy. And Lebo asked Reid, you know, is that something that you had to really coach Alex Smith into? And he said, you know, that's not where he came from, saying that that's not something that he was working on and working with in San Francisco. I think that's a pretty good insight into what you can expect from him. I think that admittance there is fascinating and important and interesting, just wonderful. Because you finally get Andy Reid to compare those two guys in a way that's like, that is definite, you know? In a way that I think lets you see what he thought about both of them and together, comparatively, what the difference is. I had somebody tweet me and said, hey, do you think that was Andy Reid taking a shot at Alex Smith whenever he said, you don't want to be one of those guys that doesn't have the intestinal fortitude and ends up being a check down guy? I don't think Andy Reid was taking a shot at Alex Smith, but I do think that he finally admitted that Alex Smith wasn't his ideal quarterback, at least certainly not whenever he got here. Because that's not what Alex Smith came from. Alex Smith needed to get better at that, and he did. While Alex Smith was in Kansas City, he got better and better at being a guy who could take some more risks and be a good downfield passer. But that took time. Patrick Mahomes doesn't need that time. Patrick Mahomes has come from that. I mean, he'll need time for other things, but that's not where he came from, being Alex Smith from a deep ball game. That is where Patrick Mahomes is coming from, and I think Andy Reid loves that. And the timeline of Alex Smith and Andy Reid working together, I think that was one of the reasons that people started to believe that Andy Reid wanted a check down guy, though in retrospect now, we see that Andy Reid was trying to develop Alex Smith into a more confident deep passer. Developing him into a guy who could look downfield and not be the guy who checks it down all the time. I'm honestly surprised to hear Andy Reid be that frank about it, and I'm excited about it. I think you can hear in Andy Reid's voice that he is too. Tre'Mond Smith, Daniel Sorensen, and Alan Bailey all spoke at camp today, and I found Alan Bailey to be probably the most, the funniest, I guess, is honestly just the word I was looking for. There's some things in this audio that were pretty interesting. Let's go ahead and hear from Alan Bailey. Coming into camp today, he was asked how he's feeling with this year starting back up.
I mean, I think the chemistry is great right now. Every day flying around, executing plays, so yeah, going good.
The defense took some heat, I guess, in the offseason. People, you know, didn't like Coach Sutton's scheme, and players moved and gone. You guys have a little chip on your shoulder right now. There's all this talk about the offense.
I mean, as a defense, you always come up with a chip on your shoulder, you know. So you don't want, you know, just come out of the unit and destroy offenses. So, I mean, it's never really any, like, you know, anything against anybody else. It's just, you know, we want to be a family as a defense.
Doesn't feel any different than any other year, though.
No, just, like, I feel a connection more between everybody, yeah. It's kind of coaching, like, I'm a bit of a coach myself, too, now. So, yeah, that's kind of all it is. And it's kind of giving them tips on, you know, things I learned over the years.
You talk to offensive linemen, and, you know, they say you're tough to really deal with. Have you felt that maybe, like, this offseason, people forgot about all the things that you could do and that you have something to maybe improve this season?
I mean, I forget. I'm just still honing everything together. You know, they're moving us around a little more this year, so it gives me more opportunity to, you know, rush from outside to inside, you know.
Just one thing. I know you were very close with Dontari Poe and Jay Howard, and a couple of years back you guys had the three amigos thing going. I just want to know what your relationship's like today.
I talked to Poe last week, talked to Jay the week before. So, yeah, I still talked to him, Nick, yeah, everybody. So I still keep it pretty tight.
Alan, where is this defense right now? You've got a preseason game next week, not that anybody plans for it, but where you want to be and where this defense wants to be before you get into that game?
We're still working out kinks, but, I mean, I feel like we're going to up and up. Like, picking up from OTAs to now, yeah, it's still moving forward.
Was today one of the roughest workouts?
Yeah. Day was long. It was long. So, yeah, it was pretty rough. But, I mean, we stuck through it and got things done.
Alan, how have you approached this year's training camp compared to as a younger player? And how much do you try to get the most out of being away versus having it at the home facility?
Well, being the oldest now, so I took it as, you know, really – like getting the young guys involved and letting them know, you know, and it's hard because they first training camp, and of course, Reed training camp, so it's hard, you know, period. So just give them a chance in order to recover your body, get in the playbooks, and keep going. Same for me. Recovery is key for everybody, especially days like this, you know. Even when the off day coming up, it's still a recovery day.
There's been some guys who have mentioned that Andy likes it to be hard and keeps training camp hard. Almost as a traditionalist. What about the way he approaches camp makes it hard for you as a veteran?
I mean, I'm not so hard. I'm used to it now. I already know what, like, I know his layout of what we're going to do and how he like, lays it out for preseason, get you scenarios, get you game ready. So I pretty much understand that point now. Now just spreading it out and letting the other guys understand it, you know, from the D-line's perspective.
Is it more of a mental exercise?
Oh,
or more
both. It's going to be both. Yeah, it's going to be both. Especially for us, we live every day regardless. You know, this is how it is for us.
With all the new guys, both young guys and some of the vets that have come in on the defensive side, how is the chemistry different this year? You feel like?
I mean, everybody brought in pretty much with OTA. You know, we're talking, communication is key. You know, at points last year, we kind of lacked communication, but this year is like, that's the emphasis for us this year.
Alan, you mentioned that you've been more of a coach on the field with the young guys. What are some of the things that you're telling the younger guys, and how are you coaching them?
Just pad level hands and just, you know, understand the playbook. Because that comes, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the playbook, so you got to understand moving parts. And that's the hard part about it. If you really don't understand, they can put you out there. As simple as that.
Is there anyone in particular you've taken under your wing?
Well, this D-line and Derek Nottie. This is the two guys we got, two little dumplings.
What do you think about Derek?
Oh, man, He's going to be nice. I mean, him and D. Yeah, I'm impressed so far.
Do you get a sense from the rookies, because you guys drafted so many last year? It's great. Because the team drafted so many defensive rookies, do you see a camaraderie amongst them because they're going through this together for the first time?
You got to. I try to tell them, like, y'all came in together, y'all kind of become, like, real close-knit, you know what I mean? Because this the battle for y'all. Y'all got to get to do it together, you know? So, yeah, I try to tell them, you know, stay together throughout the whole process. Of course, yeah, rookies.
Right. Do they stay together?
The roommates, stuff like that, yeah. So, yeah, you kind of put the rookies together, so make them kind of have a bond, especially positional-wise, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alan, I know you guys have goals as a defense. I just was wondering, do you have any personal goals that you're trying to reach this season?
I mean, just double the sacks and, you know, tackle for losses, everything. So, it's out there. Anything's possible, so it's work.
When Pat was in here yesterday, he had mentioned one of those interceptions. He could have run it in. He was tired of the defense talking trash on him that they can't tackle him. Are you among the trash talkers?
At times, if they get me mad enough, yeah.
What do you say?
I can't really say it right now. I curse a little too much, so I can't really say.
I mean, we're all adults.
Yeah, but this is, you know, if I keep it PG. Yeah.
I like Alan Bailey. It's got to be hard not to like Alan Bailey. He also called Derek Nnadi and D-Liner dumplings. Did you catch that? Like, I think he might have said little dumplings. Definitely dumplings, though. Those are some ginormous dumplings. What? You're listening to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Brisker. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, I want you to hear from Ricky Tramon Smith, current starting safety, Daniel Sorensen. Those are the two guys we hear on the way out here on Chiefs Central.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chiefs Central, Sports Radio 810, Joshua Prisco. Those are the things I need to say whenever we come back so you know what it is that you're listening to. And now we go back to St. Joe from earlier today, where rookie cornerback Tramon Smith spoke to the media. I'm really interested to see what he does on this team, what he does in the preseason. He'll be one of those guys you can watch that will probably get lots of playing time, even though he's one of those guys that I also expect to see contributing in the actual regular season. But he won't be one of the first guys out on the defense. He may be out there pretty quickly in the special teams, though. Starting off, though, he was asked to compare his speed up against teammate Tyreek Hill's.
I mean, he's a cheater, so we can't even compare, so I stay in my lane.
What would you describe yourself if he's a cheater? What
would you mean? Line's pretty fast. Of course, he's not a cheater. You know, I'm a little heavier, so he got it. Yeah, he got it.
Who's more dangerous, a lion or a cheetah?
Line's more dangerous, though.
you've talked to us, especially after the draft, about wanting the ball in your hands. One way to do that is obviously being on kick return, punt return. How excited are you for that, and how much do you think you've learned with Toe since you came aboard?
I'm really excited, you know, just like I said, any time I had a chance to get the ball in my hand, I'm going to be excited. You know, my adrenaline is really going to be pumping. And I mean, I'm just learning from the best special teams coordinator that is. Of course, he's an assistant head coach. He's a great guy, like amazing guy that I met. He teaches me these little things, you know. Always tell me to hit the holes full speed. People would be scared, not scared to tackle, but it'd be harder to tackle. Definitely I can run through them arm tackle. So just taking in every little advice I get from him and just going, taking it to the practice field.
You mentioned that Tobe is one of the best, if not the best, special teams coach in the league. How much research did you do on him, and how much success he's provided for other guys in the league?
I have, and he steady gives me film to watch. He'll tell me to go watch this certain person and just mimic them. So, I mean, of course, and then I got Tyreek Hill to mimic, you know, run fast, set up my block. So, I mean, him and Tyreek, it's the best of both worlds.
Who were some of the other guys that you looked at?
Oh, I looked at, he showed me Cordell Patterson, and I'm looking at Devin Hester. Of course, you know, he coached him. So, just those type of guys.
Pretty good about winning the kick returner job at this point?
I'm doing whatever it takes. You know, I'm coming out each and every day, practice, getting better, you know, just doing the little things right and taking the practice film to the practice field.
Even as a quarterback, you've had a nice camp. I mean, these are some of the better receivers in the NFL. Are you surprised yourself a little bit with just, you know, one-on-ones and coverage?
Coach Al Harris, he do a good job of teaching us the little things at corner, you know, just mimicking the receiver, staying low. And I'm also learning from Eric Berry. You know, he's a pro bowler, all pro, and Kendall Fuller is just, I'm around amazing guys, and I'm in the perfect situation.
Has Al given you anything specifically that he saw in you to say, okay, work on this?
Yes, it'll just be mirroring the receiver, slow down, because, you know, I'm pretty fast. So he said, can't nobody run past you, so just slow down a little bit. I just tend to play a little fast.
What are you looking forward to most Thursday at Arrowhead?
The fans. I love the fans. I mean, you know, coming from a D1AA, I mean, that'll be my fan base at my game. So, I mean, them being at practice, you know, just it excites me a lot and just give me an extra adrenaline rush.
Was the learning curve really tough coming from a 1AA school to here?
It was. Come rookie camp and OTAs, it was definitely rough, you know, just being in a different playbook, hearing different verbiage every day. But, I mean, now that I came back from OTAs, I picked up a lot. You know, I'm clicking. I can play fast out there.
Can you expand on what you said a couple of answers ago about you said you want to play slower? You're a fast guy, but you want to play slower. It's kind of counterintuitive to your skill set.
It's like going through my zones, like when the receiver's running the routes, you know, just knowing what route tree, like if I get an outside release, learning what routes I can get from that, and, you know, just basically being more smarter, playing smarter out there.
Making sure you think first and then
think
react.
Think first and then react, yes, sir.
Trevor, what kind of adjustment has it? What kind of adjustment has it been with the new kickoff rules for everybody, but also for you?
I like the new kickoff return rules. It's more like a punt to me. I look at it more as a punt, and you know we have some in there that mimics a punt, and that's what I'm looking forward to the most, kick return.
How about the helmet rules? Is there an adjustment to be made there too?
I'm wearing a new helmet actually right now. Just I mean I'm taking any safety measures I can, and you know if they did numbers on it and research, of course I'm a follow it.
You have to change how you approach those real tight, you know, windows where you think you can lay a hit, but you don't want to get targeted or something.
Right, yeah, and the officials did a good job. They came in the other day and talked us through it. We asked our questions, and I caught on pretty well.
What do you know now that you didn't know before training camp started?
Oh, it's a lot of corner and kick return stuff, just more of the route tree. I learned more of the route tree than I did in college. College, I was just more playing, you know, just out there guarding my man in front of me. Now I actually learn defenses and what the safeties do, linebackers, it's a whole defense as a whole.
Are you excited to kind of get out there and see another face on another side of the ball? I mean, you know, a different team.
Right, I'm really excited. You know, then that's when the whistles will really get to blowing, and we can make tackles out there, and just I'm ready for it to be real live.
Okay, being a later round pick, did you feel overlooked? I mean, being a 1AA, you don't have the same scouts out there, but did you have that feeling maybe?
Yeah, I just knew I always had to work harder, you know, and that's a good thing. Also, who doesn't want to work hard? And I'm just willing to do whatever it takes.
You learned a lot from that?
Yes, sir, I did.
As a young guy, have you been able to sort of take advantage of, you know, some vets like a Kendall Fuller in terms of just, like, you know, learning your position, getting some different...
Oh, yeah, I've been looking up to Kendall Fuller also, but Eric Berry, you know, I looked up him ever since he was at Tennessee, ever since he wore the 14. I wore 14 in high school because of Eric Berry, and I'm picking his brain, really. I'm asking him how he studies, you know, following him around on the field, just like a lost puppy out there and just want to do whatever it takes to... I mean, he's a pro bowler, so why not?
What was it like the first time that you met him? Do you remember that interaction?
I was on my visit here, actually, and, I mean, I was just talking about Eric Berry with one of the scouts, and, I mean, I'm walking in the locker room, he's walking out, and, I mean, my eyes got big, but I controlled myself really well.
So boasted about your ability to accelerate. When did you know that you were faster than most other athletes?
Going into training for the pro day, I was with Mo Wells down at Traction in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and, I mean, my first 40 I ran was a 4.4 flat without no technique, and, I mean, he was just like, yeah, you're definitely going to run a 4.3, and I finally got the technique down, and that's helped me a lot.
Is it your goal to pass Tyreek?
Of course. Of course. I want to be labeled as a cheat also.
Some crazy speed there from Tre'Mond Smith, who didn't know that he was that fast until he started getting ready for his pro day. That's crazy. I don't actually know if he got an invite to the combine, but whatever, training to be brought into the league, a late round draft pick, a guy that has some crazy physical tools. And you heard him talk about there that he was learning the route tree in training camp right now. Like, that's good news for him. A guy that definitely didn't need to learn the route tree, who's been in this defense for a while and has been a real success story on this team. But is he the fit you want starting next to Eric Berry? I'm not sure. Daniel Sorensen, though, truly has been a success story for this team. You heard Andy Reid mention it briefly earlier. He talked today, and he was asked about the intensity of the day's practice.
It definitely was a long practice. From my perspective, body felt good. We were competing out there. I think you get lost when you're really, you know, working together and having a good practice. So that's how I look at it. Just another day to get better.
Now, you're not one of the guppies you talked about. You're one of the seasoned veterans. When you see this defense, do you kind of see an identity forming in camp here?
Absolutely. As you start learning how players interact and how they play on the field and we start gelling together, definitely. And that's what this camp is for.
What's this identity going to be?
And we're going to find out. There's no deadline. It's evolving. It's ever evolving. And it might change throughout the year as needed.
Do you sense any sort of a chip on the shoulder for the entire defense this year as opposed to any other camp? There's so much discussion about the offense and the weapons and all that. Do you guys feel like, hey, check us out, we're here too?
No.
None of that?
No.
Can you already sense a different chemistry with this group? I mean, I know it's early, but compared to past years?
Yeah. The personalities seem to all work well together. Having Eric back this year is a big part of that. And his experience and bringing some of the young guys along.
I noticed the other day at practice, he stands behind you guys sometimes when he's not involved in the drill. Looks like he's kind of coaching. What is he doing when he's back? I mean, what's he telling you guys?
I think he's just taking a break, just resting. but I'll go find him if I have a question. Today I was asking him, picking his brain about different things, and he's there to share. I mean, he's there to help everybody out.
What did you learn last year once Eric went out about yourself? Because every season you kind of learn something new about where your career is going. What did you learn without him playing as many reps as you did and potentially playing alongside him this year?
Yeah, so got to play a lot of safety last year, so there's a lot of learning and catching up to do as far as that. Eric was around last year but wasn't on the field, and so we're looking forward to this year, you know, having him there. The man's done it all, and so his experience kind of trickles down to everybody. And just being around him, you feel like you get better.
Dan, you've been known to be pretty diligent with film, you know, early, late. What motivates you to just, you know, watch as much as you do?
Just it's all preparation. You know, you're trying to refine your skills and smooth out any rough parts that you might have, and it's just part of that, you know.
Did you watch your season last year, this offseason, like back again?
Yeah.
And then what did you want to take away? What did you take away?
It's more personal things for me, you know, stance, alignment, you know, hand placements, you know, recognition of formations. I mean, it's never ending in the things that can be learned, so.
Was there because you played safety more last year? Was there something that you wanted to reshape about yourself, or train differently, or just get a better understanding of playing that position more this year? What you could take from it?
Yeah, I had an off season to prepare to play that position. Whereas last year I was more focused on what I thought my role was going to be. So yeah, I've had a whole year to think about it, to prepare for it, both physically, mentally. It's been great.
What was that role, say, going into week one that obviously? Had to change.
Special teams, and I played the dime position, and so you know, now I got moved into playing more safety, still playing the dime, not playing as much special teams, and so try to, you know, find a balance there.
Daniel Sorensen from St. Joe earlier today. He's a part of an interesting defense we've talked a lot about so far this offseason. I'm a fan of Daniel Sorensen in a certain role, but seeing him specifically in the sort of side by side with Eric Berry role, not my fave. I want to see what it is that Dorian O'Daniel brings to this defense. I want to see what it is that Armani Watts brings to this defense. I'm not sure what to make of Eric Murray one way or another just yet, but that's another place where right now I'm looking around and looking ahead, honestly, to the preseason and wondering, what's it going to be that sets one of these guys apart? Sorensen's got the experience. He doesn't have the physical tools of the other guys, but he's got the experience and the knowledge and the time spent, the time served in this defense specifically and in this league. It's probably got more than all those other guys I just named off combined. Eric Murray's got a couple years, but Daniel and Watts are both rookies, so he certainly does. The Chiefs have a very experienced group of safeties back there. I don't know if that's going to be the way to go or not, but we'll see some more of that coming up soon here in the preseason. That's going to do it for us here on Chiefs Central on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abriska. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio 810.
official broadcast partner of your AFC West champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Sports Radio 810 WHB.